Well, good morning. Are you awake? It's good to see all of you this morning. We're grateful for a little better weather, and we had a lot of folks out last Sunday, and that's always a little bit of a struggle. You want to encourage people. We love fellowship. We love to have church, but as pastors loving their sheep, we don't want to make you feel like we're trying to put you out in dangerous territory, so you always just use your best judgment as you're making your way here. If we are having church, Russ lives really close, so he's always, man, I'm going to be there, you know. And so if it's not wise, we will always try to encourage you and say, hey, stay home. So we're grateful. We're glad to be here. Last week, we continued in our series on prayer. First week was on adoration. Last week was on confession. Josh's message talked about different points. That confession leads to great joy. It restores intimacy with God. Personal sanctification leads to the proclamation that as we are being sanctified, that we are going forth and we're proclaiming the gospel. And he challenged us last week to share the gospel with at least one person last week. Come meet my dad. Is the way that he brought that to a point. And it always just resonates with me that we get the privilege and the honor to introduce folks to God, to our Father, to Jesus. And so hopefully you did that. If you tried your best, you may not have gotten the opportunity to share the gospel, but I will encourage you, share the gospel. It's one of the things that we long to see more of here. We are grateful for the way God is growing His church, but we long to see people coming to Christ and being saved and being baptized and coming into the family. So this morning, in our continuation in prayer, we're on the topic of Thanksgiving. Now, Josh said last week, he said, you know, I always seem to get stuck with these tougher messages. And I thought as I was sitting there, well, he happened not to be in the meeting that day when we laid out who was going to do what. So moral of that is, don't ever miss the meeting. So, I was grateful that I got Thanksgiving. Rush thought something was coming up, so we swapped, and I was supposed to do the first message. And then it ended up working out, so it went back. And so, I'm assigned with Thanksgiving. The title for the message this morning is Thanksgiving, not just a nice character trait. Why is being thankful so important? Is it important? Are you thankful? It made the top four in the prayer list. Somebody put the acronym together. Thanksgiving made it. In the text that we see this morning, you see there, and it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So it's this passage is Paul is like finalizing this letter. And it, you know, that looks different to me than what's usually in my Bible. It's usually listed like verse by verse by verse, staccato. It's just like boom, 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 boom. It's almost like he feels like I'm getting to the end and I've got to close this out and I want to remind you of this. Do these things. Don't forget. This is who we are. And then as you continue on, he says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. Now, after all these things that we do is part of our sanctification. And that God will continue to do this. He will sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's important. These are for our sanctification. Thanksgiving is one of the things that shows the health of your soul. My first point is how thankful we are reveals the health of our soul. It's evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Look at Ephesians 5. Verses 15 through 20. We're going to hit a lot of scripture this morning. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. What it looks like follows, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Giving thanks. Being filled with the Spirit. When I looked at this, I thought of Sherry. Singing. Making melody in your heart. Psalms and hymns and singing to one another. Being thankful. She's got a song for everything. Music is powerful. Even back when we were in community group together, memorizing Scripture, she would put music so that it would help her memorize the Scripture. It's evidence. It's showing the health of our soul that when we're singing and we're acting in these ways that we're thankful. It's a sign of being filled with the Spirit is what the Scripture is saying. A healthy soul is being controlled by peace, the Word of Christ, and thankfulness. Look at Colossians 3. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we seem to leave this part off. It seems that's a familiar verse to us. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks through Him, through Jesus, to God the Father. Thanksgiving. This is the will of God for your soul. If you go back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in everything, in every circumstance. Really? That we give thanks in everything, in every situation, in every circumstance. If you think about it and you go and you look at Paul in Acts, when we will go back into that verse or that book together, in Acts 16 through 34, you had the story here where they are out into the city and they're moving about and they're healing and in this they're upsetting the crowd and they're being arrested. The crowd rose up together against them and the chief magistrates, in verse 22 it says, tore their robes off them, proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely, and he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. It doesn't say thanksgiving there, but I can't imagine that their hearts, that as they did these things, flowed from a heart of thanksgiving. How else would you be in jail, beaten, chained. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. How do you give thanks in that kind of situation? How do you rejoice? How is it that they're able to be thankful, praising God? In Philippians 4, verses 4 through 13, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is any excellence in any of these things, worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul knew, had learned these things and the importance of this in your life. He also knows, like, you remember the verses over in Isaiah 55 and says, my ways are not your ways. My ways are far higher than your ways. It's seeing these circumstances and understanding and knowing that God is doing a work in me for His glory. And that doesn't always look like I want it to. It doesn't always feel like I want it to. I listened to a testimony this past week. My wife told me, so you need to listen to this. Of a lady who has given her testimony at a church. The pretty couple. He's good looking. He's handsome. She's blonde. She's pretty. Everything's going well. He's going to law school. They moved to California. They love the Lord. They're serving the Lord. And she has a baby. Things are rocking along. He's within a month of graduating from law school. 2 months after having the baby, she at home has a stroke and has four aneurysms on back of the brain, the stem, where the stroke is taking place. Basically, is in a coma for 2 months. She wakes up and her son is 6 months old, and there's other ladies who appear to be more like his mom. She's left with paralysis. She's doing better. And then all of a sudden, she has another aneurysm on the other side of her brain that's a good part. And to hear her testimony and for her to reach through the difficulties of the verses that came back to her as they rejoiced in the Lord, not totally understanding, questioning, but reaching the point to where she made some statements that I'm sitting there listening to this and I'm going, yeah, that's exactly right. It's very gospel-centered. And she said she has reached the point where she realized, going like, He chose me for this. He's sitting there on stage in a wheelchair with her husband. And then she goes, it's as though He chose me for this path. And I'm going, yes, He did. And you don't want to be cold-hearted. But that is no surprise to God. This is her path. And this, knowing this, is how you are able to go, I can rejoice in this. I can be thankful in this. Because she makes this statement, she goes, and look, I'm the one sitting on stage telling everybody about the goodness and the greatness of God and Jesus. You're all sitting out there. It's amazing to see the work that God had done in the verses and come back to the point and go, that's where we are supposed to be. We take these things that are hard and difficult, they come into our lives and we act like, this is not supposed to happen. It's not supposed to go this way. It's not supposed to happen like this. Knowing God, His grace, His mercy, knowing His plans, they are so far higher than my plans. A healthy soul has a heart overflowing with thanksgiving in response to seeing and experiencing grace. A healthy soul has a heart overflowing with thanksgiving in response to seeing and experiencing grace. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 15. You probably know this passage as being about a cheerful giver. This is where we usually will preach this and encourage you to give money to the church. And I will never, ever feel cautioned in doing that. And here's why. Don't miss what's really going on here. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, He scattered abroad, He gave to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgiving to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also by prayer on your behalf yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Oh, do you see God's grace in you? Do people see God's grace in us by the way that we give? Do you see God's grace in your life? Do you see it? Do you experience it? Ephesians 1. One through eight. My community group knows I've been kind of just meditating on this passage and it just continues, just overwhelms me. Grace be to you, Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints that are Ephesus. Jump down to 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood. You just sang about the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. That He just lavished on us. Chapter 2, 1 through 10, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Not walking in the works, it's walking those works that anything that we would do is by grace. We got saved by grace. We walked by grace. Do you see grace in your life? Every step that you take, do you see grace? Do you experience grace? Every day, every moment, God's grace on your life? Cultivate a heart full of thanksgiving by looking and seeing grace in every step that you take. God lavishes His grace on us every day. Seeing that will help make you very thankful. Point number two, cultivating thankfulness in all circumstances is the power to conquer sin. Cultivating thankfulness, a heart overflowing with thankfulness in all circumstances, is the power to conquer sin. Thanksgiving is power. Do you think of thanksgiving as powerful? Or is it just what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to be grateful. I should show kindness and I should say thank you. My mama told me to always say thank you. If I didn't say thank you, she'd pop me on the back of the head. Be grateful. But a heart full of thankfulness is power. It is power to conquer sin. You hear me? There is hope this morning in this message, and I was excited to get here because there is great hope in this. There is victory in this. We cultivate a heart that is full of thanksgiving, that is overflowing to thanksgiving to God, will help us as we conquer sin. Do you think that's why He said, "This is the will of God for you"? There is a reason why it's in there. There is a reason why it's in the top four. It's extremely important that we do this. And it's for our good. It's for our sanctification. You see that? He says, now, after you do all these things, now God will continue to complete your sanctification. Through this, don't miss this. If you already know this, be stirred up again to be more and more cultivating thanksgiving in your heart to God. You struggle with lust? Thanksgiving is more powerful than lust. Lust is pretty powerful. Lust will drive you to do things you never thought you'd do. Lust will drive you to sin. Lust will say, I'm going to go do this. I will sin to get this. Just get out of my way. There's victory over that because thanksgiving every time in the heart will always overcome lust. Always. Lust is ingratitude. You're holding out on me. I'm missing out. I need this. I'm not grateful. Got to have more. Whatever it is. Whatever lust it is that you struggle with, thanksgiving will overcome that. That cannot be going on in the same heart at the same time. It's not possible. It's not possible. Your heart is overflowing with thanksgiving to God, and you're seeing grace, mercy, walking by the Spirit, all the things that are taking place. It will overcome lust. When it raises its head, my thanksgiving is what helps me to overcome that sin. You think about the fall. Here, God's withholding from you this tree. And she looked and desired. You know the story. Instead of, oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. Look. Look at all that God has given us. Everything in the whole garden. No, no. Serpent, look, man. Look, we're so grateful. One tree? I don't need one tree. Look at all that He's given to me. Look around. Look. All of this. It's mine. No, no, no. No, I want that. I want that. No gratitude. No thankfulness. Can't coexist. I always wondered about Joseph. In him, Potiphar's wife comes to him and here, I want to be with you. Really with you. Young man. And his response is like, No hesitation. I'm going, this woman is probably gorgeous. It's the king's wife. He can have who he wants. His response is, oh, no, 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 no. No, don't you see? My master, your husband, he's given me everything. I rule it all. Everything but you. Everything but you. I rule it all. And I think it goes beyond. It goes to this where you look at Joseph's life. Nothing goes right for Joseph very much. Brothers try to kill him. You look at this and going, that is days of preparation. You look at what God did in Joseph's life, days of preparation for where he was going and where he would seed him. And Joseph had realized this and he learned. It doesn't say he was thankful, but I'm thinking he has to be thankful to God for all that he has done for him. He recognizes his grace over and over and over in his life to where he goes to and says, no, 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 how could I do this great sin against God? Because it's not the king who gave me all of this. It's God Almighty Himself who has placed me here. And if you don't believe it, I got a story that I'll tell you every step that I've taken to get here. My brothers even tried to kill me. Grace. Seeing God's grace. Thankful for God's grace in his life. Do you struggle with pride? Yes, you do. Yes, we all do. And if you've been here last week, Josh told us we all do. We kind of know, right? It's almost said the root of all sin is kind of pride. A heart overflowing with thanksgiving conquers pride every single time. Pride's pretty powerful. Lust is powerful. Thanksgiving is stronger every time. Pride seems to rule. Thanksgiving reigns. It'll reign over it every single time. Are you thankful? Do you have a heart that's overflowing with thanksgiving that in everything, in every circumstance, I'm thankful? When your heart loves God, you see and experience His mercy, His grace is being lavished on us. And you really recognize and see all that God is doing and that you're just grace upon grace upon grace. It cultivates a heart in you that rejoices always, prays without ceasing, gives thanks in everything. Look at all that God has done. Look at what He is doing with me. Look at what He's doing for me. Even if He takes it all, the only way you'll respond is that if you're working daily, looking, seeing, experiencing God's grace. It's His grace that we're breathing right now. All He's got to do is say, "It's over." We just spend time this week looking and seeing God's grace in your life. How can you not be thankful? Even in the difficulties, I can't even imagine, but I hope that if it happens to me, my response would be, "Though you slay me, yet I will love you. I will serve you. Though the barns be empty, the crops not growing, everything's gone, yet I will praise you." Because He's doing a work. Look at Romans 1, 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. Did I jump around because I looked at something else? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, "But the righteous man shall live by faith." For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks or repent or they did not honor and they did not give thanks. But they became futile in their speculation and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Thanksgiving is power. They didn't honor God, and they didn't give thanks, and God did what? He gave them over to what? Lust in their hearts. That's it. He didn't add anything else. You share the gospel, you come across people going, I don't see how this, and this could happen. I can't believe in a God like that. You tend to put God on trial. Anything, the rejections that you hear, they did not honor God, nor did they give thanks to God. My encouragement to you is remember this when you hear it, and preach the gospel harder. Love stronger. Explain the grace that is being lavished, that is available to those who are lost. Cry out because God could give them over to the lust in their hearts. For their desire to worship themselves more than to worship God the Creator. It's devastating absolutely devastating. Thanksgiving is powerful. A heart overflowing with thanksgiving will conquer sin. Third, cultivating a thankful heart in all things takes practice. Back to Philippians 4, 1 through 9. Again, cultivating a thankful heart in all things takes practice. We read this and I stopped earlier. The things that you have learned, and it says, I'll just rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. No matter how hard the circumstances. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God. Not the removal of the stuff. Not the removal of the struggle. But the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Guard your heart and your mind. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have heard, learned, and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Practice every day. Just today. Just today. Look. Look for. See it. Experience. Look at God's grace in your life. Moment by moment. Don't worry about tomorrow. We'll practice again tomorrow. But it's there. We always fight against this tension of going, oh yeah, well I need to do this, 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 this. Yeah, you do. You do. It's not legalism. Don't let it roll over into legalism. Let it look at it and embrace it going, this is what God's doing in me for my sanctification. And the promise is, as I do these things by His Spirit, by His power, through thankfulness, He is going to complete my sanctification even as till the day that Jesus Christ comes. Practice. Fight. Don't be ungrateful. You'll go into sin. He'll guard your hearts. He'll guard your mind. If you do these things. Oh, may we all cultivate a heart that overflows in thanksgiving to God. Because of who He is. In all things. Be astounded. Be overwhelmed by His love, His mercy, His grace, all that He has done, all that He continues to do in us. Are you thankful? Are you? Lust and pride distorts the lenses of the eyes of our heart. Seeing God's grace and thanking Him for it gives you perfect vision every time. Thankfulness. One of the most powerful affections God has given us, the capacity to experience. Stronger than lust. Stronger than pride. Every time. Thankfulness. The more it grows in you, the more spiritually healthy you are. The more the sanctification is taking place in your life. You have a heart that's overflowing with thanksgiving. it shows the health of our soul. It also is, it's less power for sin to wield over you. Oh, I would encourage you. Thanksgiving, is it important? Yeah, absolutely. It made the top four for a reason. It's the will of God. And why? For our good. And for His glory. I plead with you, let Paul plead with them, read this letter to every single brother. And practice these things. Oh, may we be a body that overflows with hearts of thanksgiving to God. The grace that He lavishes on us. How could we do any less? Give thanks in everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. You sit here today, you don't know this God that gives grace freely, abundantly. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. May I encourage you, run to Him. Come see one of the pastors in the back. Talk to the person sitting next to you. You'll give them the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody before we ever leave the service. Oh, come and honor God. Give thanks that you see all that He has done for you in Christ Jesus. That He will lavish this on you. Practice. Let me pray for us. Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You as that we look at familiar passages of Scripture, and I pray that You help us not to get that way. That many of us could quote this, that we knew where to go to see it, that we've heard it before, over and over. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God. Just revitalize in us. Just stir in us once again. Forgive us for where we aren't. And as we fight and we practice, that we lock arms with one another, that we encourage one another, that as we grow in thankfulness to You. Complete the work in us. What a promise to know that even in our practices, it doesn't depend on us. It's all a work of You, and these things are how You work in us. So we love You. May we have hearts that truly just overflow with thanksgiving. How could we not? What a great Father. What a great Dad. And help us as we are sanctified, that it leads to great proclamation. Help us. Help us this day to not let this day go by, that we don't get a chance to try to share the gospel with someone. God, we love You. Thank You for saving us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.